We're all familiar with the first commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our strength, with everything within us. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourself. And to love someone is to be in action, isn't it? When we love someone, we want to show them and let them experience our love. It may be making sacrifices on our own part. It may be going out of our way to do things or voice things that show our appreciation of love. And that's how we kind of express it, don't we, to those that we love. I had, as most of you know, an opportunity to go with the University of Mary students on a medical mission trip to Peru. I was there from the 1st of May through the 11th. Just got back last Wednesday, late afternoon. And it was an opportunity for us to show our love and our concern for our fellow mankind, that those who are less fortunate, that those that life has been difficult for. Peru is a beautiful country. It has the Andes Mountains, and they're so high up, they get a little bit of green on them, but they're not like the Rockies. I expect to see a lot of pine trees, and there weren't many pine trees at all there. But they have both desert and jungle there. So you get areas that get 30, 40, 50 inches of rain from November to April, and other parts that they even have cacti and different vegetation of that sort. So it's kind of a beautiful setting. We ended up going, flying into Peru, and then we flew up to another town called Cusco, about an hour and a half away. And then we took a 4.5 to 5 hour bus ride to this smaller village area. And it was an opportunity for us to minister and to be with the poor people of Peru. Well, now when we got there, the Peruvian people are very welcoming, they're very hospitable, and very gracious and full of joy. And part of us was wondering, how could they have so much joy when they live in such destitute and poverty? But they had great joy and great appreciation for us and for each other. And it reminded me kind of how my grandmother grew up in the early 1900s. Many of their houses were sod houses, just like many of our ancestors. They had tin roofs, but they were sod. And everything they had to work hard for. They had very little. They had to go outside and pump water to bring water in to cook. They had maybe one little light strung with it would meet code for electricity in a room. Most of them didn't have a TV, but they had a radio. But they were very joyful and very happy for our presence. And what we did was, during the week, we went to a medical clinic, and we had nursing first triage the patient. Many of them had gastritis or gastric problems because of drinking the water. They would get bacteria in their stomachs and cause problems for them. And one of the pediatricians said, if they don't take the 10 days of antibiotics and they skip a day, the problem will continue on. So I imagine that's what happens a lot, is compliance with following up every day to take their pill. But they were looking very old. When I had a crew of PT and OT students with me, and every time we got the sheet from the nurse, I'd say, how old do you think she is? They'd say maybe 85 or 90. She'd have deep wrinkles. Her fingers would be all gnarled with arthritis. She might have been 53. I'd always say when a new patient came in, how old do you think they are? Here's with someone with a young baby or a little child, and you think they're in their 50s, and they're only 32. So they worked and lived very hard. You see, they don't have the safety nets we have. If you get hurt at work, you're out of luck. Hopefully your family can help you. You don't get workman's comp or disability or food stamps or government assistance to live. Even the churches there, I asked, can't the church help some of these people? The church is poor and probably just trying to survive. So their lives were very hard. A lot of the patients we saw had back pain because, you see, as long as you could move, you worked. We had 83 and 92-year-old women that were still picking potatoes in the field. And they have it where they pick the potatoes instead of having equipment because maybe they only had to pay her 50 cents a day versus having a piece of equipment. And they had a lot of arthritis, neck pain, and many other ailments, but a lot of pain in the joints from overuse. Women would carry their children on their back. And could you imagine walking 3 or 4 miles with the 40 or 50 pound child on your back? Eventually your joints wear out. We also did home visits, and I said to the director that took us all, I said, make sure everyone gets to go on a home visit so they can see how they live. They can see their poverty, you can see what little they have. And that was an eye-opening for all of us. I've worked with the poor in Phoenix before, but I've never worked with poor at this level. And all of us cried at some point, and I'm sure we all cried more than once, just out of sorrow for their destitute. Sorrow because they worked so hard and had so little. And it made us gracious. Gracious for, first of all, being an American. Because even the poor in our country live in a palace compared to how they live. They don't have furnaces in their homes. They don't have warm showers. If they're fortunate to have a shower, it's cold water. Their toilets, if they have one and not an outhouse, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. In fact, at the clinic, there was 2 bathrooms, and by the time we were getting ready to leave, the bathrooms no longer worked, and we were having to go in the backyard to go to the bathroom. I just felt so sorry for the college girls that were with us, know that they had to experience that. So we also lived that same poverty for that week, and I'm soft. I don't know about you guys, but I'm soft. I don't like to live in that uncomfortability anymore. I'm too old. I'm even too old to camp. I want to be in my bed at night. I want to set the thermostat where I want it. I want to get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom and know it's going to flush. I want to be able to get a drink of water and know I'm not going to get sick. And I want to be able to open the refrigerator and eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. So it really had us think about our lives. At the very beginning of the trip, which I forgot to tell you, at my very first Mass, I said, let us all pray to receive some kind of grace from this experience. Where does God want to grow within us that this isn't just a mission trip that's over in 10 days, but that carries us forward the rest of our lives? How does the Lord want to move our hearts that we can continue to use this, especially as medical providers for the future? So that it's not in vain. If we go on this nice little trip and come back and forget about it, then it's kind of in vain. So we prayed about that every day. What grace does the Lord want to share with each of us? And I did the same in my holy hour and in my prayer. And I have one particular story I'd like to share with you. I did a home visit for this young couple. He was about 33 years old. His name's Emmanuel. His wife's name is Maria, and they had 3 children. And 2 years ago, he was a builder and helped to build houses and businesses, and he fell off the 2nd floor. And what resulted from that fall is he was a C3 quadriplegic. So way up high in the neck, for those that aren't medical, he became a quadriplegic, which means he can't even itch his nose if it itches. He can't use his arms or his legs at all. Totally dependent on everyone for any need, even feeding, everything. He has been in bed for 2 years in that bedroom. It was dark, it was dingy, it was cold. But one thing is, the nurse that was with me, she checked his skin integrity. He had no decubitus ulcers on his buttocks or his back, and his heels had no sores. His wife turned him every 3 to 4 hours. She had a job, she had a little shop that she had opened. So every 3 or 4 hours during the day, she'd come home and take care of Emmanuel. So that every time she had to come home, what happens? The shop is closed, and she can't make any money for the family. And she did everything. She was basically the mother and the father for the kids, and to make sure their needs were met, and to make sure that everything they would have to eat, to drink, and to be cared for was on her shoulders. So you remember, there's no workman's comp. When he fell off the rope, if it was good luck, hopefully someone will take care of you. There's no safety net. And at the end of our visit, Maria shared with me if I'd pray over her and her husband. And what one thing she said is, you know, I feel so bad that I can't do more for my husband. And we thought, you can't do more for your husband. Look what all you're doing for your husband. And so when I prayed over, I said, Maria, you are like Mother Mary, faithfully devoted to Emmanuel. You love him, you serve him, you do not complain. You embrace this cross you must bear with him, and you stand beside him faithfully through this journey of this hard life that we wouldn't wish on anyone. And we all cried. We all just cried. But it was a holy moment for me, and I think for them too. Just to be gracious and gratitude for what we do have. She still had her husband. She still had her family. And it made me look inside my own life and my own selfishness and my own desire to be comfortable. Easy to live here in the U.S. It's very comfortable. And I like it. I don't want to be a missionary. Because, see, part of my parting gifts from there is a cold I received, as you can hear in my voice, from being cold and taking cold showers. And I also got sunburned from doing some work for sisters, so my nose blistered so I look like Rudolph. But it's a small price to pay to remind me that I need to love my neighbor, but love is an action. And I need to help more with my pocketbook on a regular basis. That's what came to me. I know Jesus says the poor will always be among you, but maybe I can make one person's life a little easier and give to an organization that helps people to become self-sufficient. I met these holy sisters that is a new order in Peru. Their oldest member is 53. They're vibrant, they love the Lord, and they serve children that would go home hungry. They have an after-school program, so they know the kids get one meal a day, and then they take in widowed and orphaned women to make sure they can have something to eat. And they're working on a program to help them become self-sufficient. So there's a lot of good things going out there, but it just reminds me in today's gospel to be gracious, to be loving, to love one another, but also to remember our neighbors that maybe don't have it as good of us. Let's thank God for the gifts of our lives and also pray and help those that need a little help.